Okay, the next argued case is number 17-2564, Federico against Wilkie. Mr. Mammon.
Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I am Nathan Mammon on behalf of the Air Force veteran Robert Federico. The material facts of this case are not in dispute. Mr. Federico served at one of the seven Royal Thai Air Force bases where Agent Orange or a dioxin-based herbicide was used. He was a munitions specialist. His barracks were 30 to 35 yards from the perimeter, and he worked at a bomb dump that was near the perimeter. And most significantly, he traveled daily along the perimeter road of that Air Force base to go to and from his place of work. This appeal concerns a legal standard that is the basis for the Veterans Court's denying Mr. Federico benefits in view of these undisputed material facts. First, the Veterans Court...
A legal standard, you say, or isn't it the fact of exposure that was debated?
The board's decision and Veterans Court's decision was based on whether they viewed him as falling within the presumption of exposure that would apply under the M21-1 manual provision. And so they looked at the facts, undisputed facts here, and answered the question, will we apply the presumption under M21-1 provision, specifically the provision that says if the veteran served near the perimeter of the Air Force base. And the basis for the board's decision here, which the Veterans Court affirmed, was that we can't apply this presumption that because he traveled, you know, focusing on the traveling along the road, we can't apply this presumption that he was exposed because he traveled on the road, because that would mean anyone who ever went in or out of the base would otherwise fit within that presumption. First, that is not what the M21-1 manual provision actually requires. It doesn't require any amount of temporal...
There's no question that that was an unfortunate statement on their part because it's just wrong. But... then what?
Well, Your Honor, I don't think it's it is unfortunate, it is wrong, and it was legally significant. That was the basis for the court's decision of denying benefits here. They said because they didn't dispute the fact that he had traveled along that perimeter road. They said, well, because we're not going to say that that is enough, or not even that they're not saying that's enough, because we're not going to interpret it that just being in or out of the perimeter is enough. We're not going to concede herbicide exposure in this case. Now, that was legally wrong, and it was the outcome determinative in this case. Had the board conceded that he was, and the court conceded that he was exposed to herbicide, he has one of the illnesses that is also presumed to be associated with dioxin or Agent Orange, and Mr. Federico would have been entitled to benefits. The other, so the board and the Court of Appeals for Veteran Claims got wrong the interpretation of the manual. That's very clear, we submit. They also got wrong the fact that the outcome here is inconsistent with how the board has applied, evaluating similar cases on indistinguishable facts where veterans have also traveled the perimeter road.
Is it your view that interpretation of the veterans manual is a question of law over which we have jurisdiction?
Yes, Your Honor. And I would submit that if you look at this court's decision just this Monday in the Hudick case, Judge Newman, I know you were on the panel for that case, it addressed the question of, well, under Gray and DAV, the board's not required to apply the manual, and that's true. But if the board does apply the manual...
The manual has no force and effect of law, right?
I don't know that that's correct, Your Honor. The board's...
Do you know what I mean by force and effect of law? If it's not bound to apply it, it doesn't have the force and effect of law.
Well, it certainly has a force and effect of law with the VA. And there is a question of, which I think is being currently debated, what's the force and effect of law at the board?
Our jurisdictional statute, unless I'm mistaken, gives us authority to interpret statutes and regulations. Is the VA manual either of those two things?
It is a regulation, Your Honor, and certainly
it
was
a regulation. I don't know that I appreciated that. The manual, well, Your Honor, is in fact a regulation.
It's not a regulation in your decision you wrote for the court in DAV. It's not a regulation promulgated under notice of comment rulemaking in accordance with that provision. But certainly the board applied it here, and if the board is going to apply,
hold it back up. So we say it's not a regulation, but it is a regulation. Our jurisdiction is really limited, and it's limited to interpreting statutes and interpreting regs unless there's a constitutional challenge. And so if you're going to say, yes, but they misinterpreted the VA manual, I don't know that I that that fits neatly. I welcome your arguments on how that fits neatly into our very narrow jurisdiction. I lament the narrowness of our jurisdiction in these cases quite frequently, but it is what it is. So how is the VA manual a regulation within the scope of our jurisdiction?
You know, I'll offer two responses to that. First, the court can interpret statutes and regulations, but it also has a duty or a jurisdiction of 7292 to evaluate decisions that are arbitrary and capricious. So I'll note that. But to Your Honor's question about the whether this is within the court's jurisdiction, certainly, again, I'll point to it's an unpublished case from this Monday, but point to the Hudick decision where that's what this court exactly did. The court said that while the VA or while the Veterans Court is not obligated to apply the manual, should they choose to, as they did in this case, they must apply it correctly. And I submit that's no different than any abuse of discretion standard case that comes up before this court. A district court may not have to do something, but if the district court is going to take an action, they have to take an action in accordance with the law. They have to make a legally right choice. And the board's decision
might,
to apply...
Might that be called application of law to fact, the way you just described it?
Well, Your Honor, in this court's decisions in Conley versus Peek and Crediford versus Shulkin, it was clear that where the material facts are not in dispute and the adoption of a particular legal standard would dictate the outcome of this decision, this court will treat the application of law to undisputed facts as a question of law.
I'm just confused because for me, I just didn't see this case as very complicated. It seemed to me that Mr. Federico was challenging the board fact-finding whether or not his travel along the perimeter road established exposure or didn't establish exposure. And that I don't see how that can be contorted into anything other than a fact-finding.
Your Honor, I respect this man. He's not challenging the board's fact-finding. The board's fact-finding were clear that they accepted the fact that he had traveled along the perimeter.
But
the question
whether
is
whether or not traveling along the perimeter established exposure to the herbicides. That's my understanding of the fact-finding.
The fact-finding, where it turned from fact-finding to a legal conclusion, was whether, based on those facts, was he entitled to the presumption under M21-1 that he had been exposed.
But that's applying law to facts, isn't it?
Well, the question of whether he was entitled to the presumption of 21-1 is a question of what does that presumption mean? And again, I'm referring back to the court's decision in Conley versus Peek. This is a pure question of what that presumption means as a legal matter. And you don't have to look at the facts of Mr. Federico's case. Once you determine what that presumption means, the board and the Court of Veterans Claims are obligated to provide it.
You have two regulations that are relevant, 1154, put them in 38. Well, that's the statute. 38 CFR 3.303. Are you raising that regulation?
Yes, well, and so that's a step further once you get past the presumption. And our point there is even if the board were not to apply this presumption, they're not obligated to, they did so here, but even if you were to say, well, because they weren't obligated to, that's not a question we're going to review. The question still is they are obligated to render a decision in accordance with 1154 and 3.303. Once you stop at determining whether the presumption applies, that's only half the duty of the board. Okay, the board doesn't have to apply the presumption. They may choose that. They don't have to apply the regulation, but then they still have to evaluate these facts and determine whether this veteran was exposed. What the board did here was stop at whether they were going to apply the presumption in the first instance. They said, well, because we don't think that a viewing or interpreting this presumption to be broad, we're not going to apply it and concede herbicide exposure. They didn't then go on and do the necessary step of saying, but we're going to look at the evidence that Mr. Federico presented and determine whether that evidence is sufficient to establish that this veteran was exposed. They didn't give that individual determination. And we think you could stop with the presumption that that should apply as a matter of law that kicks in. But if it doesn't, there still is more work that the court had to do and did not do.
The difficulties, the advantage in the course of the evolution of the herbicide exposure, there were, as far as I can tell, many scientific studies, some commissioned through the National Academy, many of them, and others, that the agency, that the government commissioned, and perhaps others, and that it was because of the scientific studies initially that, as a matter of fact, that Agent Orange had certain serious consequences, the manual was then provided that included presumptions that if exposure were established, then you didn't have to prove a causal connection between the exposure and the consequence. And so here we are, many of the arguments are now, does the presumption apply? And what I don't see on any side, and I'll ask the government particularly, that we need to know, don't we, and the decision makers, what the premises were of the presumption. If it was that, in fact, a veteran whose barracks happens to be 100 feet from the perimeter, as in this case, that it's assumed that the herbicide is in the air and that it doesn't dissipate and that the oxygen or whatever, the sunlight doesn't destroy it. Actually, I think perhaps it does at a certain amount of time. And all of the scientific facts that came into these one-sentence presumptions. But how, in fact, can we decide the correctness of the application of the presumption in an arguable case? Again, my question is really for the government, without going behind it more deeply. But I appreciate that if, in fact, the veteran is entitled to the presumption, that ought to end it, and there shouldn't be this great debate of all of the passage of time and while we wait to see how long the veteran survives. So I don't know the answer to that, but I think there are a lot of unanswered questions that need to be probed. But does any of that help your case?
Well, you know, I think it does. And I would think that certainly there have been debates and studies and trying to figure out the extent of harm that's associated with dioxin and Agent Orange, and that's why, you know, to give the veterans benefit of the doubt, that we want to help our veterans. That's why we have these presumptions, because of the uncertainty. And I think you could compare this case in the provision of M21-1 manual, which basically says if you were served otherwise near these Air Force bases, you're entitled to presumption that you were exposed. Compare that with what we apply to veterans who set foot in Vietnam. That's a much stronger presumption, that's a much wider presumption that applies, that if a veteran is shown to have set foot in Vietnam during the applicable time, they're presumed to have been exposed. That's no, manual provision has that same intent behind it, the same goal. We don't know, you know, how much exposure is required, what the effect of it is. It's about the location of whether you were at a location where this herbicide was used. And the manual has very clear steps to determine that under what the evidence was below. Those steps were met here. And, you know, per the, Your Honor, the court's decision in Hudik, the manual should have been applied and the presumption granted in this case as well.
Okay. Let's hear from the government.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Why isn't he right?
Yes, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Your Honor. May it please the court. As an initial matter, there's been reference to presumption. And in this case, the manual provision that we're dealing with does not establish a presumption of herbicide exposure like we deal with with regulations and statutes such as the veterans in the Republic of Vietnam and the exposure to Agent Orange. The provision in this case provides for special consideration based on a fact basis, which means the manual in this case is serving as an evidentiary tool to assess whether or not the adjudicator looking at the evidence believes that it establishes the veteran was exposed.
The purpose of the manual is to avoid going through all this stuff. If you were there, that ends it.
The manual provides, as this court recognized in DAV and Gray, the manual provides a means for the adjudicators to quickly process the claims. It's a collection of policies and procedures. And in this case, this particular presumption states that it's special consideration on a fact basis. So it's not an automatic presumption that if you're there on the tie base that you get the presumption or the service connection. The adjudicator assesses the facts, and if exposure is established that they served at or near the perimeter, then you move on to the causal connection. It's not the same regulatory presumptions that we deal with in veterans who actually step foot within the terrain of Vietnam. And so in this case, the board and the adjudicator, looking at the provisions of the manual, found, contrary to Mr. Federico's argument, found that the facts established that he was not exposed to herbicides in this case. And looking at the board's opinion, that was not only based on one statement that the manual's intent couldn't have been a bus riding around the perimeter. Rather, the board and subsequently the Veterans Court's opinion go through the evidence that was established in that case, including a DOD findings stating that herbicides were not sprayed within the interior of the base or on the roads, including a road that Mr. Federico would be traveling on in the bus. And so in this case, it truly is an assessment of the evidence for which this court does not have jurisdiction.
If we hold for him and reverse or vacate and remand or something, we don't run into the manual problem, do we? But if we affirm, we're going to run into the question of what with the manual, which is upstairs somewhere, isn't it?
It is, Your Honor. Cert has been granted in gray. We believe that's a distinct question whether or not this court possesses jurisdiction under 502 to a facial challenge to the manual. In this case, the holdings of both the Veterans Court and the board were limited to the facts of this case, and the holding was limited to the facts of this case. So this court need not address whether or not the manual is in fact binding, for which this court has already found that it is not. And the case, while cert has been granted, obviously no opinion has been issued, but the court could remand without addressing whether or not the manual is binding because the lower court opinion and board opinion limited to whether or not the facts were clearly erroneous or were not supported by reasons and bases. So this court need not reach the larger question.
So why isn't there a presumption of exposure if you're in an open-air barracks 100 feet from the perimeter? I mean, that it seems to me that what the manual was trying to do is to say that if there was reasonable exposure, you then don't have to prove causation to whatever illness you suffer 30 years later.
Once exposure is established, generally the board has found that there is the causal connection. There's at this time no regulatory presumption that nexus need not be established. However, it appears the board has found the causal connection once exposure is established. In this case, the adjudicator, the board, and subsequently the Veterans Court found that the facts presented in this case simply did not establish that he was at or near the perimeter or was exposed. The unique fact we have in this case is that the veteran himself submitted photographs of where the munitions dump was located, and a map was discussed during the hearing at the board. And assessing this evidence, this factual evidence, they found that he was not at or near the perimeter, and specifically made note of the fact that where he was saying the bomb dump was located was far enough outside the perimeter that it was not near the perimeter, and that the DOD report specifically stated that herbicides were not sprayed within the interior of the base. So in assessing the evidence, they found that it just simply was not established in this case.
As well as I've been able to consider the studies of the National Academy of Sciences and the others, and there were many, before there was any manual, before there was any presumption, but when it looked as if adverse reactions might be taking place, that there was an enormous amount of scientific evidence of how long the, apparently, Agent Orange, the reason that it was applied so frequently was because it had a very short life and exposure to sunlight, and it didn't last in water. So it was frequently used. And so all of this that went into, ultimately, the manual which was designed to avoid litigation such as what we have now, how can you say that it didn't establish presumptions? It may be where the limit is of the presumption. And I'm willing to say that as 100 feet away from the border, is that beyond the limit? I don't know if the spray travels through the air, and I'm sure all of that has been studied to death at that time because of the number of pages that are referred to in those reports. So don't we really have to take some kind of fresh look in all fairness rather than say, well, it's 100 feet away? I have no idea what that means, but I have a feeling there's a lot of information that can be brought to bear, and if not, that maybe ought to be created and brought to bear. So what do we do with that?
Your Honor, in this case, the board specifically referenced studies and referenced the fact that herbicides, not necessarily Agent Orange, acknowledged that they were sprayed on the perimeters of the base. However, that the herbicides, there is no indication that they were sprayed within the interior of the base or the air base, and specifically found that Mr. Federico did not meet the circumstances of the manual, which found that he was at or near. So he did not even reach the fact-based analysis that's set forth within the manual to establish exposure. So in this case, there would be no need to remand because he cannot establish that he was at or near the perimeter.
Well, it's very troubling the more we get into it. The purpose of this spraying is to totally destroy trees and brush and so on, so no gorilla can hide there and shoot at you. So it isn't as if you're just putting a couple of drops of herbicide in your backyard. The volumes of spray were enormous, which seems to be why certain well-documented consequences, when you think of it that way, open-air barracks 100 feet away suddenly needs to be viewed perhaps differently, more objectively, certainly not, I would think, disposed of out of hand because you didn't prove it. You can't expect the veterans to provide this scientific proof.
Your Honor, and I believe that's what I was getting to at the beginning in stating that this is not the presumption that we think with specifically regulatory presumptions or statutory presumptions. The VA has made the determination at this point in time that all that can be established is that the herbicides in Thailand were only used on the perimeter. It's not the same as in Vietnam, where there seems to be an indication or there's evidence that herbicides were essentially dumped, were all over the place. There are findings, and why it's a fact-based analysis in Thailand is the findings at this point are that the herbicides were only used on the perimeter.
Granting you that, counsel, there's a perimeter road, and the question in this case is how much time did he spend in that perimeter road compared to other people? And I was somewhat troubled by the point that your opposing counsel made early in his opening statement. The court said, similarly, the board's conclusion that the fact that Mr. Federico regularly traveled the perimeter road is not sufficient to establish exposure to herbicides is adequately supported. The board explained that such a finding would, in essence, negate the requirements of the manual provisions. Here's the manual again. Because nearly, quote, everyone within the base, unquote, would have traveled that road. And then with the citation. That sounds to me like both the court and the board were confusing two kinds of issues. One issue was, yes, the perimeter road was there, and yes, some people traveled it, maybe crossed it to get onto the base. but other people, and the evidence in his case is he wrote it all the time because his dump was down at one end of the base where he had to get to in order to deal with the stuff he was handling. It doesn't sound to me like they even bothered to figure out that there could be a difference in those situations. That's a very troubling statement.
And in that situation, Your Honor, one need only look to the totality of the opinion, both from the board and the Veterans Court. While they did arguably make a general statement that is not or could negate the provisions of the manual, the totality of the opinion establishes why. And that goes back to the DOD study stating that the herbicides were not sprayed within the road and that the photograph established where
they actually made a fact finding to that extent, didn't they? An express fact finding that the herbicides were not on the roads in this case.
Right, yes, Your Honor. And that gets
And they made that in conjunction with why they were saying, therefore, his travel to and from on the perimeter road once a day wasn't enough to justify or prove that he had any herbicide exposure.
Yes, Your Honor. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, after you, Your Honor.
Well, didn't it also make a bunch of... This is the thing, this is why I'm confused, is I didn't understand this case to be a generalized finding about what would or wouldn't constitute exposure, or even what would or wouldn't constitute entitlement to the presumption. I understood this case to be quite narrow because, for example, the board went on and on at pages 19 to 20 of its opinion, detailing how the drawings that were actually submitted show that, for example, where his barracks were, though only 100 feet from the perimeter, it was entirely wooded between the perimeter and his barracks. So what the board actually found, as a matter of fact, the dense foliage demonstrates that herbicides were not affecting the area between the perimeter and his barracks. If they were, there would not be the level of density that there was, and that was a fact finding by the board that is specific to this case that has nothing to do with how close someone in a random situation might be to a perimeter or not, right?
Yes, Your Honor, and that's why saying this case is unique in that we do have this dispositive evidence.
And the board cited it, relied on it, made fact findings with regard to it. It didn't just rely on the manual. It made its own independent fact findings that were unique to this set of facts.
Yes, Your Honor. That is exactly the government's argument in this case. And unless the court has further questions, we would ask that the court dismiss for lack of jurisdiction or affirm the Veterans Court.
Any more questions?
No, ma'am.
No more questions? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gorey. Mr. Mavinen.
I have to say that when we get all through looking at all of the, including the unfortunate language, I'm pretty much bothered by what's bothering Judge Moore, which is when we get right down to the bottom of this case, it looks to me like it's a case of how they weighed the facts and how they treated the question of, and as Judge Moore properly points out, there's some evidence that there was a strip of woods between the perimeter road and his ammunition dump and where he lived and so on. Doesn't that go to our jurisdiction? We cannot decide cases of application of law to fact, can we?
Your Honor, that's correct, but it does not, and that's not what we're asking. And if I may comfort you on one level on what counsel said, that that's actually not correct about what the record says, but that's not what we need to rely on. First, the record was not that that there was no herbicide used on the perimeter road. That was not what that provision says. So that wasn't actually part of what the board's decision making was. And as far as the photos that were referenced, those photos were introduced by the veteran to show where he worked. It wasn't introduced as what the location looked like when he served. And they were misinterpreted and misused by the board beyond what the veteran actually introduced them for. Now, to Your Honor's jurisdictional question, I don't even think you have to consider that. You don't have to be bothered by what I think are misuse of the record evidence here, because what the board decided this on was saying, okay, he traveled the perimeter road. We accept that as a fact. And the Court of Appeals below said the board took that as a fact, that he traveled the perimeter road, but that's not enough. It's not enough that you travel daily on the perimeter road, that the presumption doesn't apply in that context. That was the legal error that applies.
Can I just ask a factual question to make sure I'm not confused? On page A10, there is a quote from the board opinion that says, in spite of the veteran's suggestions otherwise, all evidence shows that any herbicide usage in Thailand was on base perimeters, not within the bases or on the roads.
So
is that and the sentences that follow afterwards not a fact-finding by the board in this particular case that there weren't herbicide uses or at least no evidence to show herbicide uses on the roads?
I think that was the board's fact-finding to say there were no evidence of uses on the interior. That's what the board was saying. I know they said roads there, Judge Moore, but I think if you looked earlier at the opinion, the context of what those opinion or those findings were talking about use of herbicides on the interior roads. And so I think it has to be understood what the board was saying in the full context.
But the very next sentence after the or on the road sentences, as for the veteran's contention that the crossing the perimeter and traveling on the road near the perimeter would constitute herbicide exposure, the board notes everyone does it, basically. So are you saying that is distinguishing from when the fact finding on roads, that next sentence makes it clear that when they say perimeter road, that's not the roads that they're talking about in that?
I think that's a fair reading, Judge Moore, is that they're drawing a distinction there of, okay, we're going to decide it on this final question of he traveled the perimeter road, is that enough? And they said, no, we're not going to say that this manual applies, concession applies, because that would mean everyone would. Not looking at his particular context, his particular case of whether he was entitled to that concession or whether he had established exposure. And to the question of whether this is a presumption or not, I think that's a little bit of semantics. This court has called it a presumption.
When you say he didn't get to this particular case about whether he was exposed or he, I mean, they go through all this evidence where they point to the actual photographs and they talk about the topography and they talk about what the studies show. Is there some evidence that he introduced about exposure on the perimeter roads that wasn't considered or discussed?
Well,
or something?
I didn't understand it to be disputed in the record that the herbicides were used on the perimeter.
But not on the perimeter roads. That's what I'm...
Well, I guess the record doesn't explain or doesn't address whether the perimeter road is on the perimeter or not on the perimeter. That was not a finding below. That was no evidence presented that there was no perimeter road on the perimeter. But
there was no evidence that there was herbicide on the roads. I mean, I think that's the problem, right? The problem for you is that you have to establish exposure.
Well, I don't think that there was evidence in the record that the herbicide was used on the perimeter. The photos show that the perimeter road was along the perimeter. That shows the location. But the board didn't address those facts. They didn't decide it on that basis to say that, well, the perimeter roads aren't on the perimeter. That's nowhere in the board's decision.
If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Where I come from, Your Honor, yes.
So if it's a perimeter road, one would think it's on the perimeter, wouldn't one?
Correct, and I think the way that even in this quote that the Veterans Court had of the board's decision, I think that's what the board understood, that the perimeter road was on the perimeter, but they were going to say that's not enough because that means everyone who goes along is going to be entitled.
But there are a lot of different openings in the perimeter road that would allow for quite a difference in exposure opportunities.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And if I just may...
The record is very short on any of that information.
If you look at the cases that the veteran or the board cases that were cited where the board has applied, conceded herbicide exposure, found herbicide exposure, it's on facts much less exposure than here, where the instance where a veteran went in and out of a gate at least twice to the city, and that was enough. To Judge Newman, to your point about whether this veteran being 100 yards or 100 feet away from the perimeter where he lived, that was enough. There was a case that we identified that cited in the government's brief, page 23, it's out of appendix 173, where the veteran lived 150 feet away from the barracks, from the perimeter,
Except
his barracks, and that was enough.
But that's why it's sounding like a fact-finding to me, because in that case, maybe there weren't pictures that showed dense foliage in between those two locations. When that 100 feet has a lot of dense foliage, that would suggest herbicides aren't reaching that particular 100 feet. Maybe the other feet was a, maybe the other one, the 160 feet, was a barren wasteland. We don't know, but that's why it's starting to sound like a fact-finding to me.
Your Honor, I appreciate that, but I think that, again, it's important to remember, and you can search a record, you will not find a single instance where there was a representation that this photos was of or were of where he was at that time. I mean, it was designed to show the layout of the base. It was taken beyond that by the board, that no one that I'm aware of had ever explained that or used it in that way to say, well, this depicts what it was in 1969 when the veteran was there. This was designed to show the base. And they took to mean, well, there's plants there now, so there must have never been plants. The whole nature of herbicides are you apply them, things grow back. You keep applying them, things grow back. So I don't think that the photographs support what the government or what the board did here. But again, I don't think you need to go there. I think that you can decide this on the basis of the perimeter road. This veteran was clearly on the perimeter road, and the board's reading, veteran court's reading of the manual is legally incorrect and cannot be sustained. And so for that reason, we'd ask that the court vacate the board's decision, the court's decision, and remand.
Okay, thank you. Thank you both. The case is taken under submission.